are more than meets the eye today on the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And welcome to a new episode, episode 111.
111.
111. 2005.
The year
the Cybertronian Wars ended, or something. I don't know.
Isn't that the year the Michael Bay movie came out, too, coincidentally?
I think it was.
I think so.
But we're talking the greatest Transformers movie arguably ever made today. But that's going to be here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking Transformers the movie. And for anyone listening on WBLZ Media on Ironic Radio, thanks for tuning in. Although they have played the same episode 3 weeks in a row, hopefully you're hearing the new one today.
Yes, hopefully. Let's cross our fingers.
I got to find out what's going on over there.
Yeah, some wires got crossed or something.
Yeah, or somebody's just like being lazy.
Or they really, really like that episode and they're like, we're just going to play it over and over and over again.
Possibly. You're like, this was a good one.
This is great.
Which, I mean, not to toot our own horn, but we think they're all pretty good.
Yeah,
they are. We hope they are. You know, but we'll see. So how's your week?
So far, so good. You know, I saw a disappointing Texans game, partially. Luckily, I had work to do, and I was able to dismiss myself from the first half of that game. And then I tuned in whenever I heard JJ getting sacks and stuff, and I'm like, oh, he's back. But they ended up being meaningless, unfortunately. So it looks like it's going to be another year where we waste the talent that is JJ Watt. Dare I say the second coming of LT?
Yeah,
maybe. We'll see.
Careers don't last like that anymore because they're not allowed to shoot up and stuff.
That's true.
You know, LT had things put into his body that made him like keep going.
Same stuff that Peyton Manning put into his neck.
Substances.
Yeah, the stuff that they're like, hey, just take this, you'll feel better.
Yeah. And then his eyes get all wide, and he's like, let's go.
It turns into Cornholio, tackles a bunch of guys.
Yeah, pretty much. And the rain has continued in Houston.
Yeah, it has.
You had your two older boys' birthday the other day, and it rained.
Yeah, it did. It did rain.
My mom, we celebrated her 65th birthday, and it rained. And it's
a lot of rain.
And then today it's sunny, but it's still wet in the yard. It's weird. I can't quite mow yet. I'm probably have to wait till Wednesday.
That's right. We had a Dragon Ball Z birthday for the kids. It was hard finding stuff to decorate it because you have to get it all from China. Course.
Is it China or Japanese?
Ooh.
Or it's probably Japanese.
It's Japanese. Sold in China.
Those Chinese
people, man, they're putting everybody out of business.
That's right. So, I mean, everything, probably half the stuff on this table is made in China.
Oh, definitely.
Our microphones, the mixer, the computer probably.
Sometimes I think I was made in China.
You might have been.
It could have.
Parents, did y'all visit China in January of 1988?
Maybe.
87, what year were you born?
I can't remember that far back. I was just a little squiggly.
Yeah. What is it with... You know what I was thinking about? This is the sad thing I think about. Child's families.
Mm-hmm.
Your family, your last name.
Yes.
Y'all like to do things in January. You have two boys in January. You are in September.
Oh, yeah.
You were born in September.
Yep.
Was it you and your dad in January, man? You had to go hard in January?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I had this, was thinking the same thing. Even our third child... Not too far off, you know, first beginning of
October. You waited a few extra
October.
Weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, okay, this time I'll wait a few weeks.
I mean, maybe it was that time early January, so you had to wait a few weeks.
Yeah, man, it was just, you know, the planets aligned,
you know,
perfectly.
But you know, that people were probably like, well, why are they talking about when they conceive their kids? Well, you know what? Batman's penis was in the news this week, so
it's
anything
true.
Is possible.
Anything is
we're
possible.
We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit.
It was for medical reasons, though, you know?
Right.
Sort of.
Sort of, right. So we always start the show with Download This. This is where we tell you what we streamed, watched, or checked out this past week. What have you watched?
I played a little bit of Dragon Ball Xenoverse. Whenever I was over at my sister's, my sister lives with my parents, and she has a PS4, so I played a little bit of it, and it's fun, but it's not Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's more of like an MMORPG. You get to create your own character and kind of go along in the Dragon Ball Z world, or Dragon Ball Super world, really, and it's interesting, but I really want Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I think I might just get a PlayStation 4 for Jake.
Don't
fight
that.
Yeah, and just be like, this is for Jake because he likes Dragon Ball Z. And then it's a boomerang gift. You know, you throw it out there, comes right back around, and then it's yours.
It's pretty much.
How about you?
I've been listening to Marvel has a podcast that actually came out earlier this year. It's called Wolverine the Long Night. And it's an audio drama. And it was available in Stitcher Premium for all the episodes, but now they're releasing them for free to iTunes and everything. And the first three are out. It's actually really good. Richard Armitage, who is best known for playing the lead dwarf in the Hobbit films,
mm-hmm.
he voices Logan Wolverine.
I can see that.
He's not quite as... doesn't quite have that scruff or that voice you got used to with the other actors that have done him anime versions or even Hugh Jackman, but he does the character justice, and the story is very intriguing. It's very well, I think it's very well written. It's a bit annoying. It's heavily produced because it's Marvel. So there's commercial breaks, and that gets a little bit annoying because there's a lot of sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only about 30 minutes long, and it's basically a murder mystery that takes place in Alaska, and obviously Logan's involved somehow. But really good so far, and if you're interested in audio podcasts, check that out. It's a fun listen, and I would recommend it. It's called Wolverine: The Long Night, and apparently Marvel has plans for more, and they, God forbid, they have their Marvel Cinematic Universe. They might call this the Marvel Podcast Universe. That's been the rumors.
The podcast universe.
So, other than that, I watched yesterday. I watched Sunday afternoon. The Astros game was over. There's nothing on, so we watched The Sandlot with the boys.
Nice.
And man, my 3-year-old Wyatt, who is Mr. Busy, didn't move for an hour and 40 minutes. That wow. boy loves baseball so much. He liked The Sandlot a lot.
That's good.
So he sat and watched that. And
that's a good sign.
And that's a really good movie. One of my top 2 or 3 baseball films of ever made. So check out Wolverine: The Long Night if you get a chance. It's available on iTunes now, the first 3 episodes. The fourth one might be out. I haven't looked at my iTunes to check if the fourth one's out this week. But I think it's only like 10 episodes long, so it's not too bad. So
nice.
So, yeah. See, I didn't slack on download this.
Yeah, you didn't. You came with it today.
Like, yeah, I downloaded something this week.
Like, I'm bringing the beef today.
That's right. You know, bringing it. Oh, okay. I don't know.
You had to make a noise there.
So, are we ready to get into 1986's Transformers the movie?
I think we are. Yeah. I think we're ready to roll out. On this,
Autobots wage their on this retro, to destroy. I can do the whole song.
It's a good soundtrack. Man, I mean, they got the same guy who did the Rocky IV soundtrack. He did this film, and at first he wasn't too proud of it, but as time went on and people started noticing what all he's done. It's Vincent, I forget his last name.
DeCola.
They have much appreciation for him, and he has more appreciation for this set now that he's older.
Yeah.
And it's really catchy. Good songs.
The Transformers, of course, came out in 1984. They are born from robots that were introduced in Japan, and they were looking for something for the American market. The Hasbro was, so they went to Takara and toy makers in Japan, and they brought them over and created them here. And they got together with Marvel Comics at the time, and they went to Bob Budiansky and said, hey, can you create these characters and come up with names for them? And he created all the likes of Megatron and Optimus Prime and Soundwave and Shockwave and all these popular characters mm-hmm. we now know were all basically created to create a toy line and some comic books to
much
sell
like
some shit.
A lot of things
very,
in the 80s.
Very similar to He-Man, Thundercats, a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
And Transformers was wildly successful. It had 2 seasons of the show out up to the point the movie came out. And it was a natural thing to go theatrical, which was actually at the time not real common thing to do. Now things seem to spin off theatrical, but back then not super common. And this movie, I'm never going to forget it. It came out on my birthday in 1986, August 8th, 1986. And I remember I was itching to go see it. I remember a friend at school had said he saw it, and I finally got my dad to take me a couple weeks out of my birthday to see it. And it blew my little 10-year-old mind away. Like, man, this is cool as hell. And it's still an amazing movie today, and arguably the best Transformers movie made. The Michael Bay fest have been just...
They are what they are.
Yeah. There's moments that are great. There's moments that are not so great. There's moments that are downright awful. And then there's Megan Fox's ass. You know,
yes. I mean,
that's how you describe the Transformers movies. A lot of shit blowing up.
Yep.
But we're talking...
ass.
We're talking animated movie because this Friday in theaters, there's special screenings across... I think it's Thursday or Friday this week.
Mm-hmm.
There's special screenings all across the nation in theaters. First time the film's... It's funny, the film has been shown on the big screen at like Alamo Draft House and stuff over the years, but this is the first time it's had kind of a nationwide re-release through the company that does the events at Cinemark.
Fathom Events.
Yeah, so they're showing it in theaters, and we were like, man, I don't need to go see it in theaters. I've seen it a million times at home, and I've got it on Blu-ray. Let's just do Transformers the movie and talk about it so people can enjoy it. And maybe you're leaving the screening. You'll listen to it on your way home that night.
A lot of adults that came to go see this film were a little lost because, like you said, it does follow seasons one and two. And then, you know, after this film, it sets up for things in season three. And
it takes place 20 years after season two.
Yeah. Yeah, a ways away from that
time. In the year 2005.
There's even the Witwickys in there. Daniel Witwicky, who's voiced by Mendenhall. I think it's David Mendenhall. He plays Stallone's kid in Over the Top.
Oh, yeah.
And so whenever I saw that name, I was like, that looks familiar. I was like, is that the kid that's from The Shining? And then I looked and I was like, oh, no, it's the Over the Top kid. But... Yeah, and, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, this was, it felt like my first time watching it, because I know I had seen it as a kid, but I don't think I was quite 6 or 7 yet whenever I saw it, and you really don't have an awareness of what's going on in the world around you to really appreciate what you see at that age, for the most part, and so this was really my first time, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is... I was like, did the same guy who voiced this Optimus Prime voice, you know, the Optimus Prime, the films? Cullen. Yeah, and I was like, this is great.
So you hadn't seen this in years? Wow. This is a staple in my house. Even before I had kids, I watched this all the time. Two or three, four times a year, probably, I will watch Transformers movie. This is, other than Star Wars, I mean, we've talked on the show a lot about Star Wars and some of the films we grew up with, but this is probably, as far as an animated movie, other than a few Disney classics, this is it for me. And I've watched it so many times, there's lines I can memorize from it, I can quote the movie as I watch it. I have the soundtrack on CD and cassette, motherfucker. There you go. Bam.
And then whenever you were like, you know, Optimus Prime dies, I'm expecting him to die at the end.
No.
And I'm like, 25 minutes in, you kill the most popular character.
You know, what's funny is, this movie... does not let up from the beginning. It is super action-packed. But it's what you want. If you're a kid in the 80s going to see this, you don't want to see a bunch of talking. You want to see your Transformers getting down and dirty and action-packed. But it works, because it does have a narrative throughout it, as basically the war is coming to a head between Megatron and Optimus Prime, and they've had enough of each other. This is it. Decepticons want to fuck up the Autobots. The Autobots want to fuck up the Decepticons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cussing during a kid's movie, but that's okay. You know, because that's how excited I get for Transformers.
That's right.
And so the Energon resources are running out. You know, there's nowhere for them to turn. So Megatron and Optimus, this is it. They're going to say, as Optimus says, Megatron says, one shall stand, one shall fall. They have a battle, and it happens, like you said, 20 minutes in the movie, and it is epic.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything you ever want to see a Megatron versus Optimus Prime battle be.
Yeah, I mean, Optimus, you know, he has his shot to kill Megatron, but then, was it Magnus? Was it Ultra Magnus that gets in the way, or Cup?
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. Hot Rod gets in the way, and as Hot Rod is getting thrown off of Megatron, he takes a shot at Optimus, gets him right in the gut, and shoots him up a little bit more, and then with his last strength, Optimus takes out Megatron, but he's fatally wounded.
Yeah.
And he the Matrix of Leadership.
Yeah, which is something that I remember as a kid. You never heard of the Matrix leadership before, and all of a sudden they created it for this film to give the idea of how the leadership is passed on from the Autobot to Autobot. And the whole movie centers around the idea of that there's this planet killer called Unicron that we know is coming. And we see Bumblebee and Spike up on Cybertron's moon. And they report back in to Optimus that this planet is destroying the moon. And so the part of the whole movie is that the Autobots are preparing for war with Unicron. But now they don't have a leader.
Yes.
And Megatron is wounded very badly, too. And him and his troops are put on a ship with Starscream, and Starscream throws him out the window to the
track. Yeah,
because as everyone knows who watches Transformers, Starscream and Megatron don't always see eye to eye. But let's talk a minute before we jump at the gun. The Optimus Prime scene, for me, man, this is top five movie deaths of all time. You know, as a kid, you're horrified. You're like, oh my god, I can't believe Optimus Prime is dead. And it's just absolutely terrible. And it still is to this day. And you watched it. You haven't seen it as much as me. But how did you feel watching years later? How powerful it's like. It's like, wow, he's dead.
I saw it, and I was like, I don't know if I was more upset at, you know, the fact that he was dead or if I was more upset with the writers. And I'm like, how do you kill this person off? Upon doing more research, they didn't realize how important Optimus was.
Yeah.
And in fact, they had to re-release on home video a little dub over that, you know, Optimus will return. Right. And
it's not just Optimus. There's a lot. Megatron, when he first boards the ship at the beginning,
Ironhide
blows the shit out of several Autobots. I mean, it is brutal from the get-go.
Yeah.
And the writers of the film have even said, man, we're going to take a lot of flack for this. They knew it. They're like, what? We're going to kill all these guys off in the first few minutes? And they do it.
Well,
and
they had some new toys to sell for the new bots.
Basically, it's like destroy. It's like you have a garage sale. Get rid of the old shit, in with the new.
Yep, that's basically what happened. And you know, it's how the Decepticons do it. I mean, they intercept the transmission, find out their plan, and even Witwicky and Hot Rod, they think that it's a ship from the Autobots, and you know they go up to go see the shuttle land, and it's the Decepticons landing. And it's pretty ingenious, and it happens very quick. All this happens up front.
And there's all these new characters being introduced, like Ultra Magnets, RC, which is a female Transformer, Springer, he's a triple changer.
Which I'm surprised that RC wasn't more widely, you know, commercialized and marketed, because you figure that you could sell a whole lot more female toys, but maybe that wasn't the idea back then.
It was different back then. Boys wanted to play with He-Man, the guy characters.
That's true.
You're right, though. And I think, if I remember right, in Beast Wars came out, they had more female characters.
Yeah, they did in Beast Wars.
But yeah, no, you're right. In fact, I don't even think an RC toy got made for several years, you know?
That's true. I think it was just the figures.
Yeah, but you're right, though. This was designed to sell more new toys, but the movie is just pure adrenaline adventure from this point. So we lose Optimus Prime. The Decepticons lose Megatron. Starscream goes to some planet to be crowned as king.
Yes.
But or the new king or leader of the Decepticons, whatever you want to call them. But not so fast, Starscream.
That's right.
Megatron is floating into space. Looks like he's off the dead when he comes across Unicron, which is this giant planet killer who's going across and just eating everything in his path, literally eating it. And he makes Megatron swear that he'll work for him and be basically his minion. And he gives Megatron a rebirth, which is a really cool scene in the movie. And he redesigns him.
Yes, yeah. Megatron's pretty reluctant because Megatron's pretty prideful.
Right.
No one summons Megatron. Well, I'm grateful to be the first.
Which is, and speaking of Unicron, is voiced by
Welles.
The undeniable Orson Welles, who's an incredible actor, and he absolutely hated this movie, though.
Yeah, he made fun of it a lot.
Yeah, I made some movie. I mean, he died a year later. This was his last movie. He died before the film was released, but he'd already did his voice work. He's like, yeah, I don't know. The last thing I did was some movie about toys fighting other toys, and he really, really hated it.
Yeah, and it was tough for him to try and get all of the voice work done.
He was really sick.
Yeah, apparently his voice was pretty weak, and they did engineer his voice just a little bit, mm-hmm. but for the most part, he does most of the work,
right.
And he does a really good job. I mean, this Unicron probably steals the movie, mm-hmm. in a way, because it quickly becomes based around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were talking, and so Megatron gets transformed into Galvatron.
Yes.
Done by Unicron. And then it's funny, Frank Welker has voiced Megatron for many, many years, still does it in the live action Transformers movies. And he actually voiced Galvatron in the television series. But for the movie, they used their voice. He used the late, great Leonard Nimoy voices Galvatron.
And it's funny because he got to, in turn, voice Leonard Nimoy's character Spock in Star Trek III.
Right. And then Leonard Nimoy voiced Sentinel Prime in Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Yes.
So it all comes back around.
It did. It did come back around.
I like Leonard Nimoy's voice as Galvatron. It's booming. It's
dark.
It's dark. It's powerful.
It really is. And I thought it would be more high-pitched, but I guess I had forgotten how Leonard Nimoy sounds, and his voice is very deep. And I didn't realize how deep his voice was. I was like, "Oh, this is a really good voice work by Leonard Nimoy." And I didn't even realize that he did Sentinel Prime in 2009. And I was cool to see that. I might have to go back and watch Dark of the Moon. Not a bad film. No, Megan Fox, but not a bad film.
Yeah. I actually Dark of the Moon. I like that one. Now the Transformers movie. It's a fun movie. But anyway,
yeah.
But so Unicron summons him, gives him a new body. He gives him Cyclonus and the Sweeps, which is like his army for Galvatron.
Yes.
And he gives him a new ship. And he tells him, this is where the plot gets driven. He tells him, you need to destroy the Matrix of Leadership because it's the only thing that can destroy me. And Galvatron says, oh, I already destroyed that. Optimus Prime is dead. And he explains to him, no, it's been passed on to Ultra Magnus, their new leader. So Galvatron, you know, in his, I will crush Ultra Magnus and bring the Matrix leadership to you.
Yes.
You know? And it's really cool. And so he goes and so he goes off on his way to go hunt down Ultra Magnus. In the meantime, there's a separation of plot going on where Ultra Magnus and them have gone this way with the Matrix leadership. Hot Rod and Cup and the Dinobots are on this other planet they land on with the Quintessons.
Yes.
You know, and which and there's a cool scene underwater, which I always thought that was like a really cool scene.
Yeah.
They're fighting these fish things underwater and everything, and there's music playing, and Hot Rod and them are taking them all out, and they get captured by the Quintessons.
Yeah.
Look like you were ready.
Why don't I remember this part? But yeah, and meanwhile, Galvatron shows up, like you said, not so fast, Starscream.
Right.
With his new army. Yeah, while this is happening, and Starscream is just bewildered as to why Galvatron is there, and immediately just gets friggin' disintegrated.
He says, who's interrupting my coronation? Coronation Starscream? It's more like bad comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Man, you do know the quotes.
Megatron gets all the best lines of this.
Yeah, he does.
And he just turns into this gun, which Megatron's a little small handheld gun. Galvatron transforms into this cannon and just blasts him away.
Yeah, man.
And I remember as a kid seeing that for the first time, I was like, holy shit, that's cool. I mean, I might not say holy shit as a kid.
That was pretty much my reaction, because I was like, okay, he's going to blast him, and then he's going to get on like one knee or something, and then beg for his life.
Absolutely.
No, man. Wasn't playing. And then the crown falls, and then he just like does away with the crown.
And then he's like, anybody else want to like, you know, take me on? They're all like, what's his name again?
Yeah.
Oh, hell, Galvatron. Yeah. And there's some comedy like that. Like, what's his name again?
Yeah.
It's still for kids, even though this movie is really, really brutal.
Yes, you know, but in a lot of ways. It works because it's with robots. And there's robots don't bleed. I guess they just fall apart.
Or disintegrate in the case of poor Starscream.
I forgot. Man, we forgot that one line from Optimus. I thought you were made of sturdier stuff.
Or sterner stuff.
Sterner stuff. Yeah. And he like, well, he's blasting them. and Megatron's falling apart. Those are some good lines. Yeah, yeah. Megatron and Optimus definitely both get the best lines in this film.
Right. And it's so weird because you're going the whole rest of the movie with no Optimus Prime. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But you know, Galvatron gets to be reborn. I mean, that was a risky move on the part of the writers to do that.
Yeah.
To not have this Autobot leader and introduce these new characters.
Like I said, it looked like it was just misunderstanding on their part. I think if they would have realized, you know, how much Optimus meant to the kids. I mean, you had a lot of kids riding into Hasbro because of that act and saying that they didn't like that Optimus died. And of course, you know, that he gets resurrected
later on. Another season.
Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to come back towards the end of this film, because I was like, oh, there's no way. And then I was very surprised that no Optimus, just, you know, they heal Ultra Magnus. And I was like, why can't they do that to Optimus?
Well, it's funny. Yeah. Well, Ultra Magnus, you know, Ultra Magnus, his team ends up on the planet of Junk with the Junkions.
Yes.
Who are voiced by Eric Idle.
Yeah.
Who voices Retgar, who is from a previous movie we did, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And, but Galvatron and his suite show up on the planet of Junk, and they basically almost annihilate the Autobots that are there. They destroy Ultra Magnus, and this is an interesting scene because the original script, and it's even in the original comic, basically has like these laser ropes that tie it. It rips Ultra Magnus apart, like literally limb by limb. But they felt that was too violent for the film,
mm-hmm.
so they redid it where the lasers shoot at him, and the lasers don't dissipate. They sort of stay on him almost like ropes, and he like cringes up, and the next thing you know, Ultra Magnus explodes. And but in the comic book version, that scene is still in there like ropes. I remember as a kid reading that and going, well, that doesn't happen in the movie. He doesn't get pulled apart.
Yeah.
He gets blown apart. And then years later, I read that they had changed that from the script.
Yeah, just to...
And, but you're right. The Junkions, because I guess they're really crafty, and they're able to put Ultra Magnus back together like, oh, no big deal.
Yeah, it's like they just put this, like, paste stuff on him. And then all of a sudden, his eyes are lit back up, and then, boom.
He's like, what happened? We lost the Matrix of leadership.
Yes.
Because Galvatron steals it. And Galvatron... he has no intention of giving this thing to Unicron to destroy it. He wants to destroy Unicron himself because, again, Galvatron's a badass. He wants all the power.
Yes.
You know? And so that's going on. They're back on the Junk planet. Hot Rod and Cup are being put on trial by these egg-looking Quintessons who basically run their own court here, and there's no justice to it. And everyone is sentenced either innocent or guilty, and no matter what you're sentenced to, you fall down into this pit where the Sharktacons eat you.
Yes.
You know, and so Hot Rod and Cup are sentenced, but they say, let's turn this into a destruction derby, and they transform their car mode, they take out all these Sharktacons, and then they're able to escape with the help of Wheelie, which is a little small Autobot that's floating around that planet, and they're able to escape, and they end up, right as Ultra Magnus is brought back to life, they have a little battle out with the Junkacons too before they put Ultra Magnus back together.
Is that whenever they're put on that little conveyor belt and then Daniel Witwicky has to blow
that's
the lid?
That's when they're inside Unicron.
That's when they're inside Unicron.
We're almost there.
It's like the animation, for some reason, it flows to where I couldn't tell where it was. Like, if you're asking me about it now, I can't really tell you when it happens, because I'm like, it's still pretty fresh to me. And a lot of the animation kind of reminded me of Heavy Metal, but it's from that same style. I really liked it. They have to go inside. Now they have to go inside Unicron.
Well, Hot Rod and Cup end up meeting them on the Junkacon planet, and they realize, they say, well, Galvatron escaped, and then Hot Rod tells them, well, we know where he's going. He's going to Unicron.
Yeah.
So they all start heading that way, and Galvatron shows up, and he's about ready to, he tells Unicron, I have the Matrix of Leadership now. I'm going to destroy you. Unicron's like, oh, really? And he takes Galvatron, basically throws him in his hole.
Yes.
And basically eats Galvatron in a way. So Galvatron is inside Unicron.
And basically like a reverse Death Star.
Right.
And I believe I read something to where this film was highly inspired by Star Wars. In fact, there is a crawl at the beginning, correct?
No, in some versions. If you watch like the Blu-ray, it's not on there.
There's the widescreen and then there's the full frame, and I know that some things are left out of the full frame.
The original widescreen print of this movie was destroyed. They were never able to find it. So there was a university that had a work print of it in widescreen. So they used their print along with some laser disc prints and things they found over the years, and they have done a rematted version of the widescreen. So the current Blu-ray that's out has the reworked, remastered widescreen version, which still isn't the true original widescreen, but it's the closest we're ever going to get to an original version because the original was destroyed. And so they used different prints to rework that into a new widescreen for the new Blu-ray release.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And the crawl that was there was added to like VHS and DVD releases in the late 90s, early 2000s, but it's since been taken out because it didn't need to be there. I actually had a VHS release of it that had it on there. It was kind of weird explaining to get the viewer caught up to why this is 2005 and all that, etc.
Okay. Yeah, so they now all the Junkions, they go and they realize that they have to go to Unicron, and they start a fight. And Galvatron is re-released during this fight.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Matrix of Leadership falls into Hot Rod's hand.
Unicron is transformed at this point.
Yeah, he's transformed at this point.
And another, as a kid, wow moment. You're like, wow, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And there were even plans in the script at one point to have Cybertron transform also.
Really?
But it never was done. An idea of it was used in the Marvel comics later on, where Cybertron was like a living planet itself, but it didn't transform. But the writers of the Marvel comics said they never had read any of the ideas from the movie. This is just something they came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an original script. The idea was that Cybertron transform also.
And you have two planets battling,
but for some reason they chose not to go that route. And instead it's just Unicron attacking his planet in robot form. And he's really, really cool looking. He's like the ultimate Transformer badass in a lot of ways.
He really is. I mean, he's massive. And like I said before, he really does steal the show because you don't... It's like he looks like a planet, a living planet. You don't expect him to transform into what he does transform as.
And there's all kinds of Transformers fighting everywhere. We find out that Daniel and Bumblebee and some of the other Transformers are inside Unicron. They're going to be melted in this vat of liquid. And Daniel, or Spike is in there, sorry.
Yes,
his son Daniel gets inside with him with Springer and RC, and he has an exosuit on, and he has to learn to use a suit to blast the shield down to save his dad.
And he's like, I don't have any weapons. Use your suit.
Yeah, and it's cool. And as they're trying to escape Unicron, meanwhile, Hot Rod is inside there, and he comes face-to-face with Galvatron. And Hot Rod's a young, spunky, you know, badass Autobot who's kind of cocky, and he's like, you know what, I'll take you on. And he wants to fight Megatron 101, and Galvatron. And Galvatron's like, I will crush you, Autobot, with my bare hands, just like I did Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus. And they get into this fight, and then the big reveal at the end of the movie, of course, where Hot Rod grabs the Matrix leadership, and it turns out that he's the one, and he opens up the Matrix, and he throws Galvatron down, and he turns into Rodimus Prime.
Yes,
and he's the next Prime, and he's able to destroy Unicron, and then there's a scene at the end on Cybertron where he's like, "To all are one," and basically the movie ends. It's very, just like the way I'm talking, it's very neck break pace.
Yeah, you know? once you know, he meets he meets Galvatron in battle, it pretty much goes really quick from there. And just like, you know, Optimus said, whenever he was, you know, giving the Matrix the leadership to Ultra Magnus, Ultra Magnus says, I'm not worthy, I'm just a soldier.
Right.
And he said, neither was I when I received it, but a hero will reveal himself.
Light our darkest hours.
Darkest hours. So that's whenever this happens, and we find out that Prime was correct, and some weird number. Ever get a call from one of those weird numbers and they're like, can you hear me? And they're like, oh, we've just stolen your soul. We're going to make a clone of you.
And so the movie just kind of ends. And then I remember as a kid, like, waiting, well, what happens next? Optimus is dead and then everything. And of course, we had to wait until season 3 to come back. We had all these new characters introduced.
Yes, the Dinobots. Yeah.
Well, the Dinobots were already in the show. But then there's this whole, I remember there being an episode where Starscream's ghost shows up and he tries to attach Unicron's head to Cybertron and take it over. They did an indirect sequel called Five Faces of Darkness, which was the first 5 episodes of season 3, which was a sequel to the movie in a roundabout way.
That was the TV movies.
And then they eventually brought Optimus Prime back in the Return of Optimus Prime.
Yes.
And then they had the Headmasters reintroduced for the last season called Rebirth, where the Headmasters were done and the animation was getting really bad. You could just tell the show was starting to end. So Transformers went on for another 2 seasons. Season 4 is only like 4 episodes. But basically after season 3, it lasted one more season than season 4 until we got to Beast Wars years later. And of course now the live action Transformers movies. But this movie has a lot been made about the soundtrack too.
Yes.
It was almost like watching a heavy metal animated movie play out.
Yeah, it really was. And they did a really good job of picking Vince, like we said before.
And then they had to change the name of the band Kick Axe to Spectre General because they felt Kick Axe was too controversial.
I know. They did drop the S word in the film, but then they took it out whenever they added it.
For subsequent. Well, apparently it's funny. Rated G was not good for an animated film back then because they were afraid adults wouldn't go see it.
Okay.
You know, so they wanted it to be PG, so they dropped shit in there for PG at the beginning of the movie. Spike says, oh shit, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
When the Unicron is attacking the moon. And they took it out for VHS releases in the 90s. And then eventually on like the 2000 VHS release, it was put back in. It's been in ever since. And
What happened.
Did it say it in the version? It had to be in the version you ran it on Vudu because that's the only current version.
Yeah.
And it's funny, a bad word in a kid's movie. You know, it's like, what? You know?
That'll get the adults to stay.
Well, I mean, and not only that, just the brutality of the movie. The robots dying.
Yeah, it was pretty real.
You know, and then a bad word. But, you know, overall, though, this movie is just, it's still one of my top 5 animated films ever made. I love the Transformers movie from the opening frame to the end of the frame. It's a fun movie. My kids like it. And it makes you long for getting a live-action Transformers as good as this in some ways, you know, because the Michael Bay films have been, they are what they are. I'm not going to knock them. There's people out there who would absolutely trash them, and a couple of them are absolute trash.
Yeah.
But they're an effort, at least, to make a live-action Transformers film. But Transformers, the animated movie, is the go-to Transformers movie.
Absolutely. It's definitely the best depiction. I mean, it's Gen 1, you know, so you can't knock Gen 1. And it looks like, it looks like they kind of loosely went with some of the TV themes whenever they did make the Michael Bay films. And I did enjoy the first one. I think, now looking back on it, I think the first one may be the best film, just because, you know, of the awe of seeing them.
There's a sense of mystery in the first
thing. And now I kind of like the, I don't I don't want to jump the gun. We'll talk about Optimus's new look.
Yeah. But I like this movie too, because it did, as much as I hated Optimus Prime dying, it did introduce new elements like the Matrix leadership and all the new Transformers. I always thought Rodimus Prime was a cool character.
Yeah.
The triple changers were really cool as a kid to play with as toys, but they're hard as hell to transform. They had three different things. It's funny, there's some things in the movie. The movie's not perfect, like Devastator shows up at the beginning. He's going to help destroy Autobot City, but then Devastator just sort of disappears.
Because yeah, you don't see him.
There's a cut scene there that never got finished. Apparently there was another... The Autobots had their own combiner that shows up, and he fights Devastator.
That's right.
They end up cutting the whole scene out.
Because they cut some voice actors came in, and their parts were actually cut.
Right.
And, you know, and so, there's a bit missing from the film. I remember seeing that. Man, that sucks. Shows up and then disappears. Kind of like an anomaly that would happen in a Steven Spielberg movie. Something shows up and just disappears. You don't see it for a while and don't know where it went.
It does happen. And unfortunately, sometimes even back then, some of this animation was being done overseas. So they would, things would not be corrected in time because they were on budgets and restraints. So a lot of that happened with the TV show too. You might have to use stock footage like, well, that Transformer's not supposed to be in the scene. It's supposed to be Hound. Oh, well, Wheeljack's there. We're going to use Wheeljack anyway, even though he's not supposed to be in the scene. And a lot of that happened back then. Because this is before the digital age. You know, you were doing things overseas. You were trying to get things back and forth. You know, now everything's done on computers. It's much different now than it was in the 1980s.
More of a foolproof system now.
Right. I mean, you can animate something thousands of miles away and send it to somebody in America right away and have them check it out. You know, but overall, though, Marvel, you know, of course, had comic books. They adapted this book into a comic book series, did it animate. And then IDW, a few years ago, redid, for its anniversary, the comic adaption of this, and they actually added a few scenes in it that were cut from the film in the IDW version, not much. So obviously there's tons of Transformers toys out there. There wasn't a Unicron toy made till almost 2003 because they had a prototype design back in the 80s, but it was wonky and didn't work right, and they never released it. And there's plenty of pictures online if you want to go see the prototype of the Unicron.
That would be cool
and
to
see.
And
they finally released one years later. And then I don't know if it's ever been released in America. I'd have to ask my buddy Frank Chavarita. He's my Transformer expert. I know there's some almost movie-like Transformers Unicrons that have been released in Japan over the years since this movie came out. So plenty of stuff for Transformers out there in your movies. Here, before we talk some more Transformers, your final thoughts on Transformers animated movie?
It's a really good movie, and I still have like a whole day to rewatch it and kind of like just get it in more, because like you said, some things just happen like so fast.
It's an easy quick watch.
Yeah, it is a quick watch. It's a bit over, what, it's like 2 hours?
Hour and a half.
Yeah. And something you can watch with the kids.
We didn't even talk about Stan Bush's The Touch.
Oh yeah, The Touch.
There at the beginning, which was used in Boogie Nights.
Yes.
For Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, and Stan has made a career off of this. He still comes through Houston, plays shows based on these songs.
Didn't he make a music video where he's playing in front of the animation going on in the background?
And like I said, he's made a career off two songs from a hit movie that he still comes to town. In fact, he was in town not that long ago and plays these songs because people want to go see him play songs from the Transformers movie.
Heck yeah.
That's pretty crazy. So, you know...
You know, they were originally going to use that song for Cobra.
Yeah.
But they ended up not using it. And it would have been a waste. It would have been a waste. I mean, I love Sylvester Stallone movies, but Cobra is not his best film. And it's good that we were able to have it for Transformers, and it became so much of an icon.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. So do you have a favorite Transformer?
It's like whenever... Before, it was always Ironhide, because he was just huge and massive and tough. But whenever I saw the films, I always thought that, like, Bumblebee was really cool, of course. But I think they gear you to like Bumblebee because Sam is really with them. And then, you know, of course, they released the new Camaro model whenever they released the new Bumblebee.
Right.
But it would have to be Ironhide because I always thought his weapons were cool. They were just big and bulky and big old cannons.
I always like him. I like Rodimus Prime from this. I always thought he was cool as a character. And Hot Rod, the character he was before he became Rodimus. And it's easy to say Optimus Prime, but everyone loves Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And I always thought Shockwave was cool, who has a very brief appearance in this movie at the beginning, and I always wanted to see more Shockwave. but those are probably some of my favorites. Do you have a favorite? You're being a little bit younger. The favorite animated Transformers series? Because I know you didn't quite grow up with Generation 1,
yeah,
but you've seen it.
What I really remember is Beast Wars. Yeah. And like Optimus Prime was a gorilla. And
it ties in with Generation 1. Yeah, they find
it does.
The old arc.
Yeah, they find the old arc, and you know they can only copy beasts.
Yeah.
And so Starscream is a raptor, and actually ends up joining the Autobots and becomes a good guy. And he has a really cool transformation. I really liked his because his sword could like swivel and just like spin in a circle, and it was just really cool in the TV series. Yeah. And I got his toy first, and then I got
Beast Wars was really good.
Yeah, and I think Bumblebee was a rat or something. Yeah. I think
nostalgia factors is always going to be Generation 1. It's going to be my favorite cartoon. But I did enjoy Beast Wars a lot too, and most of the new ones I haven't watched as much. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah,
when the boys are watching it. But yeah,
I think they did a version in like the 2000s where they really built up the space city, and Daniel Witwicky had some really cool get-ups. Like he had a robo suit and a badass looking laser sword and a big ass cannon, and he actually his suit would allow him to fight lower level Transformers really well, and I forget which animated series that was, but it looked really good. But I think it stopped short for some reason. Sometimes you know, whenever things look really good, they blow their wad, you know, in the first few episodes, and then you know there's really nothing to excite you going forward. So maybe that's what happened.
Did you have a favorite Transformers toy growing up?
Growing up, I did play with my uncle's Transformers, and he did have a nice.
Watch
like,
how you word that. That could be weird.
Oh, yeah. he did have Optimus, and he bought me a tank Megatron,
which was Generation 2.
Which was Generation 2.
Never existed in animation, but it was in the comics. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a like a 12-inch tank Transformer.
Oh yeah, Megatron was huge. I remember.
Yeah, and it had electronics in it, and that was really cool for me. As the cannon would fold, and just like in the cartoon, and that was one of my funnest toys to play with because it was like big, and so I would make Megatron beat up all the other toys.
I love Soundwave because I always thought I was fascinated as a kid that you could actually put a cassette in it. I thought it was cool.
I remember that.
And then I still have that. I still have my Optimus. I still have Jetfire.
Wow.
Jetfire was like the Robotech looking one. So there's some of my favorites. Somehow my mom threw away a lot of the Star Wars stuff, but I still have a lot of my Transformers. I still have Ultra Magnus.
Wow.
I don't know if I have all the pieces, but I haven't. I still have a couple of the Jets, so I've still got some Transformers around. So those are probably my favorites. So that's a good segue. Let's do some news. New Bumblebee trailer hit today.
Yes.
Did you watch it? Did you get a chance to sit down and watch it?
I did.
Dude, speaking of Generation 1, man, total nerdgasm to see Shockwave, Soundwave, and Optimus Prime Generation 1 style in this fucking trailer.
And it looks way better.
It just put me in the seats, man. I want to see it now. This, a Michael Bay-less Transformers movie, it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like an adventure movie. And just seeing Soundwave is shock. Fucking Shockwave, man.
It's Shockwave.
I don't get that excited about trailers anymore unless it's like Star Wars, but this trailer, actually, I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yes.
You know? I mean, why did they do this 10 years ago?
This was the formula.
You know, and we had no idea from the first trailer that they were going to do any of this, and now it just put me on the seats. I want to see this now. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it really looks really good, and Optimus looks epic. And
even if they're just cameos, it's still worth it.
Heck yeah, man. I could see this just being like something towards the end and then leads you into the second film.
Yeah,
or even
it could be a Cybertronian war at the beginning, and that's why he sends Bumblebee to Earth. You know, just
that's true.
Or towards the end. It could do it either way, yeah. But all it does is make you want a full-on Generation 1 movie, you know, where you see classic Optimus and Soundwave.
I wonder how much that would
cost.
God
damn it. Can you imagine Megatron shows up in this?
Dude.
Holy shit.
He's got to show up.
You know?
I don't think they'll show him in the trailer.
You can have Shockwave and Soundwave and not have a Generation 1 Megatron.
Or at least Starscream.
Yeah. And I've only watched it on my phone. Might have to turn on the PlayStation here later and watch it on the TV, you know, because that was really... It was awesome.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple good trailers this week. Let's talk about the next one. Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Trailer finally hit. And you know I'm sometimes harsh on Marvel stuff, but man, this trailer was good.
I did.
I legitimately like, man, that looks really exciting. I think it's because it's a new, fresh take on a character. It's something we haven't seen. It takes place in the 90s, obviously. It looks like we're getting introduced to the Skrull. Brie Larson, she looks really good.
She looks the part. Yeah.
So this, not that we've come to expect good things from Marvel, and it looks like they're going to continue that path.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'm loving the memes that are coming out, and they're like, oh, you know, Captain Marvel will be set in the 90s. How 90s is it going to be? And she freaking falls through a Blockbuster video store in the beginning.
And there's been pictures where she got the Nine Inch Nails shirt on.
Yeah. That's
it almost felt like it needed an 80s song over the soundtrack.
Oh, heck yeah. You know? Maybe they thought that would be too cliche.
Too much.
Yeah, you know? maybe that's too...
Or 90s,
too...
so I said 80s. 90s. 80s. We were doing an 80s movie, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing an 80s movie, but 90s. So. Well, maybe some STP.
But it comes out in March. It makes you wonder if they're going to start promoting Avengers 4 before then. I would think they'd have to have Avengers 4 trailer, but I guess they can market it without showing her, or they could do some sort of teaser where it just doesn't show anything.
Yeah, I don't think that's Marvel style, though.
So we're getting this in March, and I guess they've officially announced Avengers 4 is going to be late April, just like 3 was.
Yeah, late April.
Like April 28th or whatever, so, you know. So it's going to be a good year. Then we have Spider-Man Far From Home coming out shortly after Infinity War.
I may have to take the
three big Marvel movies within 4 months of each other, so it should be an exciting year. Any other thoughts, Captain Marvel?
It looks really good.
I don't honestly know a whole lot about the character other than that. I guess she might have been a former Earthling that was taken by the Skrulls and given powers, and she has memories.
No, I could have sworn that her dad was Captain Marvel, and she is he was a Kree warrior, and she is part Kree or half Kree, and I think her father was Kree and her mother was of Earth. Kind of like a way stronger Peter Quill. I guess if Peter Quill had stayed on his father's planet, maybe he would, you know, that's the kind of power she kind of has. But like you, I kind of loosely know about her. I know a little bit. But
that's why I'm looking forward to it, too. It's something I'm not real familiar with, so it's something fresh. And I think that's why I've enjoyed some of these solo movies that are new takes instead of the same characters. Like, I really enjoy Black Panther and Doctor Strange. I'm looking forward to this. So yeah, it should be fun.
That way you have lower expectations, not in a bad way, but you just, you know, you don't know what to expect.
Right.
And, you know, you can focus on the storyline versus continuity. You know, I know I'm, you know, I have a bad habit of looking at continuity whenever I'm, you know, watching a Spider-Man film.
Right.
It doesn't bug me that much, but I still think about it, and it causes me not to focus on other things.
Right.
Yeah.
So lastly in the news, we have Batman's penis. So DC Comics, they have a new label called DC Black Label, which is supposed to be for mature readers. And they put out a book last year, and I have a new book called Batman Damned. And so Batman's coming in the Batcave, I guess. He's taking off his cape and cowl, and there it is, folks.
Bat dick. Yes.
And it's done in shadow, but you can still clearly see that it's a dick.
Yeah.
And so I guess people were up in arms about it. It's like, you can't show Batman's dick. And so they already changed the digital version, I guess, on Comicology and all that to a shadow.
Yeah.
You can't see his dick, and all future printings are going to have no dick. And so people ran to the comic book stores to buy up copies. They're going for $80 to $120 online.
Yep.
Just for Batman's dick.
That's right.
What the hell?
Hey, man, it's not something you see on the utility belt every day.
In all seriousness, though, DC, I get it's a mature label, it's one thing to have Batman saying fuck or shit or whatever, but do we need to see his dick?
Hey, you say that now, but whenever Wonder Woman starts...
Well, yeah, you know, right? It'd be like, if they do a mature Wonder Woman, her nipple pops out.
Yeah.
You
know? And, we probably wouldn't be saying the same thing. You're like, hey.
We'd be like, hey, I'm going to go buy that.
It might not be necessary, but
now that they cause controversy over this, I'll probably never release another book that
probably
has
not.
Bat dick or Wonder Woman tit in it.
Yeah, you know? Wonder tit or bat dick.
And it's hilarious that this made the news. I think it's ridiculous. I think, honestly, DC shouldn't have taken it out. Just let it be.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Especially since it drives up the cost of the comics whenever you do stuff like
this. You know, because I honestly knew it was coming out, and I thought, oh, man, I might want to pick up a copy of that just to read it, because I'm a big Batman fan, right?
Yeah.
But now, I guess I'll have to get a second print with no bat dick.
Yeah.
You know? And now I feel deprived.
My cousin's husband who has, you know, that military job, the embassy. I told you he bought that $80 comic. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, only in this week in the comic world can Batman's dick make the news.
Outside of Gotham City. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Man.
Bad dick.
You thought we were getting some raunchiness from Batman whenever you saw the animated version of the Killing Joke. Well, this, hey, yeah. They outdid you. No, man, right
Batman
here.
Just let it all hang That's out. Right. Literally.
Yeah, I literally. You know? And now, as our friend Kerry Gordon says, now we know which way he leans.
That's right. All right, well, on that note, let's preview our next movie. We're getting ready in a couple weeks. We're going to do our first theme month. We're going to have, we haven't came up with an official title, but we're going to do some Halloween movies for the month of October. A little bit of horror, a little bit of this and that.
Yeah.
We're not going to reveal them yet. There's going to be a graphic soon I'm going to release on our social media. But we've got one more movie to do before we get in our Halloween movies. So we're going to do something kind of a fun cult classic.
Yeah.
Matt, what is that movie?
That is The Big Lebowski.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. You know, that or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski? Ah!
Employed?
Do you like sex, Mr. Lebowski?
Is this your only ID? Ah!
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski.
Jeff Lebowski, the other Lebowski, the millionaire.
I received this ransom note this morning.
This is a bummer, man.
They want you to take the money and act as courier.
Hangman.
What the hell is this?
My dirty undies, dude. The whites.
Let's take that hill!
Why should we settle for 20 grand when we can keep the entire million?
I know you're mixed up in all this.
Playing one side against the other in bed with everybody.
Blow them.
Huh? Fabulous stuff.
What?
Who's sitting on $1 million?
We want the money.
Ah! Sitting in the trunk of our car.
Where is my damn money?
Say, dude, where is your car?
Who's got your undies, Walter?
This is a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
Is this your homework, Larry?
And I would like my undies back.
A lot of, strands to keep in my head, man.
Whoa! Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
I like your style, dude.
I have no choice but to tell these bums to do whatever is necessary to recover their money from you.
They were Nazis, dude?
They were nihilists, man. They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Here's a loser, you know, a deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
You cannot drag this negative energy into the tournament.
Jeffrey.
Bond.
Love me.
That's my robe.
I'm throwing rocks tonight.
It don't matter to Jesus.
This could be a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
All right. Now, this is a movie that is, I'm more of a newcomer to this movie. Mary, my wife, is a big fan. I had seen it, but I didn't pay attention to it until a few years ago. I watched it with her. She's a huge fan of the movie. I like it. I don't love it. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite that cult status people that, like, worship this movie. The Coen brothers make interesting films.
Yeah.
They're kind of different, little off, you know, at times. And they make some stuff that's really accessible, like True Grit. That's a really accessible. I think Big Lebowski is a very accessible film. Of course, it stars Jeff Bridges, you know, who's the dude.
The dude. But
it's a fun movie. And I'm kind of like, think it's going to be fun to watch again and talk about it.
No, it's definitely very quotable, very memorable. Heck, there's like two memes that I know of that are, you know,
like, that's
from
just
this
your
film.
Opinion, man.
Yeah, and am I the only one around here?
And I've got Walt sitting on my wall over there, a piece of art from The Big Lebowski. So
very nice.
Of John Goodman's character. So it should be a fun movie to talk about, and that's going to be next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast. Before we get into Halloween, horror, fest, whatever.
Yeah.
we're going to call it. And so the Big Lebowski next week on the Rebel Radio podcast. And but that's all we've got this week, I believe.
That's right.
As always, go to therebelradiopodcast.com for all the episodes and for if you want to buy a t-shirt or whatever. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff. We're very active on there. We have a Facebook group. We'd like you to join, too. Just go to our Facebook, and you can find the group through there, because we like to talk to you people and see what all's going on in your worlds, not just ours.
Yeah.
Because we care.
Share.
And sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring, yeah.
And we hope you enjoyed talking about Transformers movie. I know I enjoyed it. I was probably very... I'm over here doing all kinds of things with my hand, and Matt's looking at me like, man, we're here to jump out of the fucking
chair. Yeah, I know. You know? You're going to, like, reach over and smack me or something?
I might, you know, and just give you, like, a Galvatron hug.
Yes!
But until next time, as always, on the Rebel Radio Podcast, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
And there are more than meets the eyes.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?